So the thing that the Lord had put on my heart is counting on God. And really, what does that mean? Well, today we're going to look at an introduction to that. We're not going to do a ton of digging into 1,000 scriptures today. We're just going to talk about some basic concepts about what it means to count on God. And, you know, when I started thinking about how can I express that in a 2-line, 3-line kind of summary for the publicity for our church, I started thinking about what does that really mean? It has to do with faith. It has a whole lot to do with faith, and we'll talk quite a bit about faith this year. It has to do with trust, which those words are synonyms, but to me they're a little bit different. And then we've got actually the actions that are the overflow of that. And, you know, getting all of those in a heart kind of a mode, something that flows from the heart. So that's kind of where we're headed, is getting to a place where we really, truly come to the place where we're convinced and believe that we can count on God for every single circumstance, big or small, in our lives. And to me, really, sometimes it's those little bitty, mundane, daily boring details where I need, that's the lesson I need the most, is to learn that I can count on God there, and he's just waiting for me to trust him with those. And so that's kind of where we're headed, and I'm very excited about it. You know, we sang the song Knowing You, and I don't know if anybody was familiar with that song. It's a remake. It's on our new music CDs for the people who decide to become a member and participate. You get some music CDs that we give you, and it's my favorite song. And I don't know if any of the ones of you who were here last year know that I taught the book of Philippians, and to me the theme of that book is knowing God. You know, Paul said in that famous verse that his goal in Philippians 3:10 was to know God, and that's really a whole lot about what we'll be talking about again. And that's really what it means to have a relationship and grow in the Christian life, is to know him. Because think about it this way: if you don't know God, you're not going to count on him. So those two, you know, this is just a natural progression of that same thought of knowing God, so that we can then come to count on him in those mundane things and then in the big things. So the scripture we're going to look at today is where Jesus is explaining some of these concepts to the disciples. And we're going to be coming into the middle of a conversation that he is having with his disciples. And the timing is this: he is told them, and he is preparing them, that he is getting ready to die, and he's getting ready to leave this earth. And so they've been doing it the way they've been doing it, just watching Jesus and copying him kind of thing. Now they're going to have to learn how to do it when they don't have the physical Jesus to imitate. So here we go. If you will join me, and I'll read for us, and you can follow along on the blue paper. John 14, starting in verse 4, and this is in the New Living Translation, says this: "And you know where I am going and how to get there." This is Jesus speaking. "And you know where I am going and how to get there." In verse 5, "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We haven't any idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had known who I am, then you would have known who my Father is." And in the Amplified, it says, "If you had learned to recognize me, then you would have known who I was and who the Father was." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And in verse 9, Jesus replied, "Philip, don't you even yet know who I am, even after all the time I have been with you? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking to see him? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of what you've seen me do. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." Verse 13, "You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world at large cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you do because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In just a little while, the world will not see me again, but you will. For I will live again and you will too. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Those who obey my commandments are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them. And I will reveal myself to each one of them. Now, if you've noticed, this is so characteristic of Jesus' teaching style. He asks a lot of penetrating and soul-searching questions. And I'd like to do the same, if I might. I want to learn from Jesus. That's what we're all seeking to do, is to be like him. That's God's will for us. And so I'd like to ask you some questions this morning, just to think about, and you don't have to answer out loud, but just think about, do you know Jesus? And how well, if you do know him, do you know him? And then, how important is it to you to know him better? How important is it to you to know him better? So, as is my custom, I'm going to give you an outline that rhymes. I love to do this when the Lord gives me liberty, to either make it have alliteration or rhyming. That helps me remember, and I hope it'll be a tool that'll help you to remember also. So we're going to cover 4 points today, and that's going to help us answer some of these questions that we've addressed here. And if you'll look on your outline at Roman numeral 2, we'll start with the word detect. Detect. And it's talking about that very thing that we're talking about, which is knowing God and learning to recognize him. And I don't know if you caught that word in the passage, but Jesus was talking to the disciples about learning to recognize him and know him. And I must mention that the most basic level of knowing God is salvation. That's the entry level. And I trust that if you're here today, you do know God as your Lord and Savior. If you don't, I'm not going to address that today, but please feel free to see me or one of the other leaders after class or email me. I would be glad to help you get settled on that if you're not settled on that. But, you know, for most Christians, people that are sure that they have accepted Jesus as their Savior, that's kind of it. Yeah, I know God. If you ask them, do you know Jesus? They'll say yes. But I believe that there's a lot more for us. There's a lot more for us in the category of knowing Jesus. And learning to recognize him in our lives. I loved the question that he asked Philip in verse 9. He says, don't you even yet know who I am, even after all the time I've been with you? So if it's your desire to know him more, that's what we're doing here. If you can answer in your heart that question, I want to know Jesus more. That's what I'm here to do. I mean, that's what I want to do in my day-to-day life. That's what I want us to pursue here. And so, so welcome. That's what we're about. And the great news is that the more we get to know him, as I said, the more that we'll learn to count on him. Okay, so the second point that Jesus makes in this teaching that's relevant to counting on God is reflecting. Reflecting on what we know about him, reflecting on what we've seen in him, will strengthen our belief and our faith. It will strengthen our ability to count on God. Let's look at two aspects of that Jesus mentions in the text. He talks about what we've heard. In verse 10, he says, and I'm going to read this from the Standard Version. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So think about that for just a minute. We're talking about the incarnate God. Jesus is the Son of God living in a human body, but he is still fully God and fully man. But he says that the words he speaks, he doesn't speak on his own authority. He, and in some translations, it says, I don't speak on my own initiative, but only what I hear the Father speaking. That's what I speak. So look at our example here. The great example we have of counting on God is Jesus Christ, that he says he doesn't say a word without hearing it from the Father. I think that's pretty amazing. And I was just thinking about each of us as people who have had the privilege, especially if you go to this church or any of our sister churches here in Birmingham, so many Bible-teaching churches where you have been exposed to the Word of God. And I would hope that everyone in here could say that there has been a time when you have heard the Word of God preached or taught, or you've been sitting in front of your Bible and you felt like, oh, I heard that it really ministered to you in a place, and you felt like you personally heard God, the words of God that were imparted to your being. And those are times that if we will reflect on those, they'll strengthen us and help us to count on God for the next time. The second thing he said, and I thought this was kind of interesting, in verse 11, is what you've seen. He said, at least believe, because the works you've seen me do. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And of course, we have an advantage, and the disciples had an advantage, if you think about it. The disciples had the advantage of having seen Jesus do some amazing things. I mean, really, if you think about this, I mean, we can kind of tie those two together, the things he had said and the things he had done, with a word spoken from his mouth. He had healed somebody that was in another location. With a word spoken from his mouth, he raised the dead. In just a few chapters beforehand, Lazarus come forth, and a dead man comes back to life. So, I mean, the disciples had an amazing journey of hearing what he said and seeing the works that he did. And I would like to just say to you about us, so much of the time for us, you know, we, especially when we're just getting started in this thing of walking by faith, learning to recognize God, that most of what we recognize of God happens in the rearview mirror. Do y'all know? I mean, you know, you kind of think back on it and you think, you know what? Didn't I pray so-and-so? Didn't I hear the preacher preach on that a couple of Sundays ago? And look what, you know, and so then you recognize and then you reflect, and it helps you to learn to count on God the next time. And so I'm hoping that we can facilitate that instead of it just dawning on you in a random moment. We're going to be massaging that. We're going to be practicing that. And one of the things I've asked you to do, if you choose to do the worksheet this week, at the very last exercise is one where just take a few minutes to think back over your day, either at the end of the day or the next morning, and just think of the times when you sense the presence of God, or what could be explained by the presence of God in your life. Because here's the thing, y'all. Think about this. God is omnipresent. It says in Psalm 139, 7 and 8, you can't go anywhere from God. Whether you go to the heights, whether you go to the depths, the light or the dark, he is there with you. You cannot escape God. He is omnipresent. And the very last words he spoke before he left this earth to the disciples standing before him, and that's who we are as believers today, his disciples, is he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He wasn't talking about, I'm going to be with you in heaven. He said, in this age right here, I am with you. And y'all, that is a thing that strengthens our beliefs. That is a thing that helps us to count on God, is to stand on the fact that even though you may not can see him, even though you may not feel him, even though your circumstances are not matching, he is with you. So I know that puts a lot of steel in my spine when I, by faith, stand on that and count on that, even when it doesn't feel like it at the moment. So hopefully that'll give you some ideas about reflecting. Then expecting. What to expect? Roman numeral 4. Jesus goes on to start talking about prayer in verses 12 through 14. So expect prayer's effect is what I call this little section. And I wanted to reread this because this is some powerful words Jesus is speaking here. He says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. And then he goes on to say, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You know, I think what Jesus is saying here is that we can count on him for way more than we would ever, as it says in Ephesians 3:20, ever dare to hope, to ask. He can do exceeding abundantly above anything we can dream up on our own. And it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. Our human minds can't conceive of what God has in store for us. He wants us to learn to ask. And I have, God, in this last few months, anybody that knows me or has seen me around lately knows that I've got this topic of prayer on my heart. God has just imparted this huge energy around the topic of prayer and about the practice of prayer. And if you think about it, James 5:16 tells us that it is so powerful. And I love this verse in the NIV. It says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so I believe that a lot of times this is the disconnect for us, is that we have a bunch of knowledge stored up in our head. We take a bunch of notes, or we don't, or we listen or whatever, but we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what we often forfeit, all because we, you know, do not take it to the Lord in prayer. And so that, we're changing our whole format this year so that we can encourage more actual prayer time in the second hour. I mean, I'm really committed to that we will develop in our prayer lives, because I think what we'll find is that if we start praying some specific prayers, God's going to start giving us some specific answers, and we're going to be counting on God before we know it, because that is the thing that just starts building your faith like nothing else. And just two prayer principles that I'm just going to briefly mention because of this huge broadness of this promise. And we will be getting into more prayer principles, believe me. But today I wanted to mention what he says in verse 13. He says that he will answer our prayers for anything. And did you hear that, the part that he tagged onto that? So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. So what I don't think he's saying is, I can ask for anything. Okay, lottery ticket in my future. I think I'm going to ask for that. No, he is asking for whatever. When we ask anything, and when we do it with a heart that will bring glory to the Father, he can do some amazing things, and he will. And then the other thing that I would mention, because we'll begin this immediately, you know, even on our worksheet, is appropriating the Word of God in prayer. If it is in the Word of God, it's a safe prayer. If you pray it back to him and say, Lord, in your word you said, and our verse that we can go to for that is 1 John 5:14-15. It says, this is the confidence that I have before him, that if I ask anything according to his will, which is written in his word, then, I mean, that was my parentheses and my ad, but if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the request that we have asked from him. Now, we don't want to put a time limit on that, and we don't want to put a human interpretation on what that's going to look like. But he says, and he promises very clearly, that he will fulfill his word if we ask in prayer. So that is expect. And then connect. You know, I don't know how I can say this other than to say it's all about relationship. It's about a relationship. Jesus came to earth so that he could have a relationship with us because he loves us. And it's about revelation. And that's the part about knowing and recognizing God that I wanted to kind of hone in on here. Jesus was explaining to the disciples that, you know, really what's about to happen, guys, is not that different from what you've been doing with me while I'm here with you. What you've been doing is you've been walking along, and what you, I don't think, are getting is that you've got an unseen Father in heaven that you believe in. You're experiencing him. You know him, but you're not knowing that you know it. But I've been helping you with that. Well, I'm going to send you another helper so that when I'm gone, he's going to help you do the same thing. That there's an unseen God in heaven, that spirit, that I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to help you worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the place we connect with God, is on the inside, our inmost being, our spirit man. And so we can see and recognize our unseen God because we have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all the truth of that. And if you look at what he says in verse 21, Let me just say a few highlights here about some of the promises he gives us about knowing him through relationship and revelation, verses 16 through 21. He says, I will give you another advocate or helper, the Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth. And that's a great prayer to pray. Lord, just lead me into all truth. And you know him. He's just reassuring him, you know him. You know him. Because he will be in you. And I, Jesus, will reveal myself to you through the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's our plan. We're going to trust in God. We're going to have faith in God, and we're going to count on God to help us detect, reflect, expect, and connect as we learn to count on him. Now, y'all, I have a testimony that's about 20 minutes long, and I'm going to try to condense it. It is really, really special to me, but I'm going to trust God to help me do what I said I was going to do, which is collapse our time into an hour time frame. And the circumstances I'm going to tell you about are moving my daughter, Marilee, from her off-campus apartment to her off-campus little old house in Oxford, Mississippi. And this was back in July, and I need to tell you that I have some vast experience in moving college kids. I've got two college kids who have moved a subtotal of 9 times. And I really would like to go on and on with you about how many times I really had to get that SUV out and how many storage facilities that I have been acquainted with and spent money with, but time will not allow. And I would like to tell you that I had resources at my disposal. This is my mommy move out kit. Can y'all see my new toolbox? Or how cool is that, y'all? It rolls. My husband retired from the moving business, and so I just, over the years, I started doing what we do spiritually. We talk about here in Divine Design that we have a spiritual toolbox based on the Word of God, that's the principles of the Word that we pull out of our toolkit and we put to work in our lives, and we'll put it back, and then the next situation will come along and we'll get our next tool out and we'll put that to use, pray it in, count on God to make it true of us. And then sometimes we'll discover new ways to say it, so we'll send out a new paper. But a lot of the things that we do are the same things over and over and over again. It's just in a new situation. And so after a while, you get yourself a pretty big toolbox, and you start getting some experience, and you start gaining some confidence, and that means you're counting on God most of the time. So you've got resources, you've got experience, and then you've got those good intentions, and that's what I had on my move with Marilee in this little testimony I'm going to tell you about. So I took my honking toolbox to Oxford, Mississippi, and I will tell you that I was counting on God. Because I did pray about it. I thought, is it time to hand the reins over to her? Because I've already been one trip to Oxford this summer, you know, doing quite a few things. But this time I thought, it's fun. We connect. It's relational. I like doing it. I've prayed and I feel a peace about it. I've got the time. I'm going. I feel great about going. So I went, and we had two tasks on our agenda. One was to get the headboard that we owned off of the bed frame that was provided by the landlord. And then secondly, we had many, 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 many nail holes in the wall that we needed to patch because we had hung so many pictures in the bedroom. And I need to add to this that there was this very strong letter that had come out that told us of the very stiff penalties we would be paying in a monetary way if those things didn't happen. You know, so we had just the motivation of our pocketbook in this. So here we go. I go over to Oxford. We get over there, and I did rely on my experience. I counted on my experience, and I did what worked beautifully last year, which was you go by the hardware store, you get yourself some spackling compound, you get yourself a spackling knife, and you take a little chip of that paint from the bedroom, and you ask them to make the smallest little container of it, and then you cover those little holes up, and it worked beautifully. We got nothing taken out of our deposit last year. I thought, here we go. We know what to do. We're going to do it. And I went over there. She spackled, I painted. She spackled, I painted. She spackled, I painted. I mean, there were probably 45 in this one little tiny bedroom. And so we got about halfway around doing that little process, and I'm looking back and I said, look, we're almost done. And y'all, the wall was polka dot in not a cute way. I mean, we were talking about four shades too dark. The paint was about four shades too dark. And I went, oh, no. And Mary Lee kind of had a little freak out. And she said, oh, it's going to cost Daddy more money. And, you know, we were. And I looked at my watch. The hardware store's closed. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. And so I said, well, let's work on the headboard. I tried to get the headboard off. I was 0 for 2. So it was dinner time. We ate. We went home. We purposed to pray about it. We got up the next morning, and I did. I sat down before the Lord, and I said, Lord, did I miss you here somehow? And the one thing that I wanted to say about my resources, my experience, and my good intentions were that I kind of had myself a little counting on God plus mentality, which we will be talking about probably ad nauseum, because I think a lot of us have a counting on God as part of what we're counting on, but we're not totally counting on God. So I had to confess, oh, yes, Lord, I counted on you, plus I counted on, you know. So I got that out of the way, and I said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry I did that. And I said, well, I don't even know what to pray. And so I said, you know, the Holy Spirit tells us what to pray, Romans 8:26 tells us. So I'm just going to go to this passage of scripture that I was reading. I'm going to pray that back to you, and then I'm just going to trust that you're going to give me the wisdom I need. It says you will do that in James 1:5. And so I was reading that morning a verse about hearts, about our hearts. And you know how sometimes you'll sit there quietly in prayer and all these things start kind of tumbling into a understanding? And so that's what I was doing that morning. I was just being still and knowing that he was God and that he was in control. And he reminded me of something I'd been studying as I've been preparing all summer for counting on God. And one of the things about knowing God and counting on him is that verse in 1 John 3:2, and it says, let me make sure I've got it right. So it says, when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And here's the application for that, is that, yes, commentators and Bible experts will tell you, yes, we will see him physically, you know, in whatever kind of body he's in at the end of time. But the other concept is the spiritual concept that is also well supported by the Bible authorities, that as we see Jesus, as we recognize him, as we get to know him, as we gaze at him, we become like him. We're conformed into his image. As we gaze at him, we're transformed from glory into glory, it says in 2 Corinthians. So that was the concept that came to my mind, is, oh. And so it was like I had been praying, Lord, help me see you. Help me detect you in my day. Help me recognize you. And so I'm reading this verse about a heart, and I'm being still, and the Lord's reminding me that as we see him, we become like him. And all of a sudden it hit me, oh, God, I'm feeling led to pray that I would see your heart today. I thought, wow, I know I didn't think of that. That must have been one of those Romans 8:26 prayers. I thought, wow, that's almost too good to pray. But okay, I'm praying that. I'm going to pray that I'd see your heart today. And I also pray, you know, and I had all that other stuff I wanted to pray too, that I added to it. We got up, we got our stuff together. We go back over there with the plan of, we're going to go to the office and ask those people, do they have any paint in there? Because we'd be glad to do the labor if y'all would just hand us the paint that matches. That was that plan. And then we did stop by the hardware store and got ourselves another little tool for the toolbox to see if we could get that headboard. Okay, so here we are, and in the car, and Mary Lee's driving me in her little red bug, and she said, Mom, can I pray for favor? And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm joining you in that prayer. So we prayed for bed favor, and we prayed for paint favor. So we walk up to their ugly polka dot room, and I said, okay, let's, in short order, I'm going to go for the headboard first. I want to use my new tool. So I got my new tool out of the package, and I sat down on the floor, and I got my stuff out, and y'all, I couldn't do it. It didn't work. And I thought, oh, shoot, I'm just, I was wanting to throw a little fit. I was frustrated. And about the time I kind of got about 30 seconds into that, I was reminded, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all things. And I went, oh, Yes, I do choose to give thanks. I'm sitting on the floor and I'm looking at this mess of a room and I said, God, I give you thanks. And you know what? If you have a $50, $75, $150, $250 lesson for me out of this, I know it's going to be worth it. I give you thanks no matter how much it costs. I give you thanks either way. I'm just trusting you and counting on you that you've got something good for us because you're a good God and you love us. So I'm giving stinking thanks. There you go. I mean it too. So I did. And so I'm just kind of sitting there and it hits us. Oh, Meryl Lee has a friend who's moving in a close by apartment and we think her dad's with her. Okay, how about let's make that phone call. So she makes a quick phone call. She leaves that message. She says, okay, thanks, bye. So we sit there and I go, whew. I said, well, maybe it's time to go to the office and get the paint. But before, I mean, literally, y'all, less than 60 seconds after I had given thanks, and before that phone call could leave the wire and be received on the voicemail and picked up, I mean, there was no way in this time frame that that girl could have gotten that message. The doorbell rang. It was ding dong. And we both looked at each other like, how does she do that? And so she went running into the door and I heard a man's voice. And so I go, a man. So I went running up to the door and he said, hi, I'm the new maintenance manager here at this apartment complex. And I just went, I am beginning to sense the presence of the omnipresent God in my day. I just thought, oh, you are not the man with the shirt, with the official thing emblazoned on your chest. And then he went on to say, are you Miss Girardeau? Talking to Meryl Lee. And she goes, yes. And we're thinking, okay, this has got to be God. Somebody pronounced her name right. Okay. All right. Okay. This is starting to gain some momentum here. We're thinking, you know, we got ourselves something good. And he said, and my name is, and he told his name, and y'all, his name was almost identical to our name. And he said, where are y'all from? And so then we went, I will spare you that. That was a very long ordeal about trying to figure out how we must be kin somehow. So we've got, and then he said, well, let me just tell you that I have this work order here. Oh, he goes, I'm sorry it took me so long to get here. And we're going, we just prayed, you know, but he's not. I said, oh, mister, you are an answer to prayer. And he's looking at me like, yeah, right. Well, listen, let me tell you, I've got this work order here. And he said, I'm really sorry it's taken me so long. I've had this in my stack for several months. Well, I haven't. They have. I'm new. They hired me to clean up the mess that's going on here. Do you realize they have 692 apartments in this complex? And I have got a stack of work orders. I'm so sorry it's taken me months to get here. And I'm thinking, okay, let me see if I got this straight. Okay, I gave thanks, and 60 seconds or less later, my doorbell rings, and there's a man who knows how to pronounce my name, that has a name almost just like mine, that's Ken someplace, who just happened to pick up that work order in that big stack that he showed us, and that out of 692 doorbells that he could have rung in this complex, he chose to ring that doorbell at that exact moment. I don't know about y'all, but you can call that a coincidence. Sentence if you want to, but I'm saying I think God heard our prayers and he showed up. And I have to abbreviate this for the sake of time, but I will just tell you that before this, what became a sort of extended divine appointment was over, this man had personally, he had this huge stack of work orders to take care of, and he had move out coming in just a few days. He personally took the headboard off for us. He carried it to its destination. He told us, you know, the whole deal about how to get the paint fixed and all that. And we go, and the last thing that had to happen was to check out with the person in the office so that they could tell us how much we were going to owe, because we messed it up and we knew, and that was fine. So he's still in there kind of working around on the door that he came to fix, which was so off of our radar screen. And when the woman comes in to check us out, he goes, oh, don't charge them for the paint. And we just went, you're kidding. We got favor. So anyway, y'all, I know you think, okay, I came to this Bible study to hear a story about counting on God, and you're telling me about a $50 paint job, or it was probably more like a $150 paint job. But here's what I'd like to say to you about that. If you can learn to count on God for the, what is that, on a scale of importance, a one or a two? If you can learn to count on God for a one or a two, if you see him show up, you recognize and detect him in the ones and the twos of life, I'm going to tell you what that's going to do for you. You're going to know that in the eights and the nines and the tens, that the same God that showed up for you in that moment is the same God that's going to show up for you in the things that you've been on your face about for months or maybe years, the thing that is the dearest and deepest pain of your heart. That same God, you can count on for those moments too. And back to the reflect thing, I could have flown literally without wings to Birmingham. I was so, just spirit, soul, and body, I was impacted by the presence of God. It was a divine appointment. I was speechless. I was truly speechless. And all I could do on the way home was just sing praises to him because I was just so blown away. And so I'm driving somewhere around the Alabama state line, and the Lord said, "Remember what you prayed?" And I went, "Oh, I prayed to see your heart, God. I prayed to see your heart. Oh, God." And I felt like that was really the prize, is that I got to see the heart of God that wants to care for us, that wants to take care of just the tiniest cry. He's our Abba Daddy, and he cares about the hairs on our head. He cares about the paint holes in your wall, and he cares about the deepest issues that you're facing, and you can count on him. And I want to close with a verse that he gave me several days after that event that I personalized by changing the gender, and I'd like to say it for all of us today, that this can be our experience as we journey to count on God. Psalm 91, verses 14 through 16 from the New American Standard. "Because she has left me, therefore I will deliver her. I will set her securely on high because she has known my name. She will call upon me and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will rescue her and honor her. With a long life, I will satisfy her and let her see my salvation." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your heart. What an amazing heart of love you have for each one of us, Lord. I pray that we would dare to risk to believe how much you love us, Lord, that we would just let that in even just a little bit more today than we ever have before, that we would just dare to believe God really loves me. God really wants to take care of me, and God really wants me to learn how to count on him and know that I can trust him for everything tiny and everything huge. So, Lord, I pray that this week, as we are going about our day, that, Lord, we would be able to detect your presence. You said you would reveal yourself to us. And I pray that when we see your presence, Lord, that we would choose to connect to you, that we would know that you're coming to make a connection and to be in a relationship, that you're in the Father, and the Father's in you, we're in you, and the Spirit's in us, and we're in us. That, Lord, we're your daughters. We're your friend, you call us. And so, Lord, we just pray that we would choose to connect in those moments. Lord, I just pray blessings over each woman. Father, I pray that you would just infuse each woman with a greater measure of your faith. And I do pray that you would just cause the remaining time we spend to be honoring and glorifying to you, Father. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.